Turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3, if you would. I'll start in verse 1 and read through some of these verses, getting away from 2 Kings here for a couple of weeks. We'll get back to that, but we got something else that we need to address. Galatians 3, 1, and it reads like this. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'm going to stop right there and ask God's blessing on the reading of his word this morning. So you can start today by turning in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3. The title today, it's part one of Who is Israel? And the reason that I'm doing this, number one, God put it on my heart. Number two, because of the theological confusion that exists in our society today and the amount of people that are falling into this trap of deception, that we need to make sure that that is cleared up in your minds. The deception today has everything to do with the nation of Israel. And that should not be of any surprise to you. And you'll see why whenever we go through this. So we have talked multiple times. I have shared with you my concern for the false teaching and the deception that is going to happen in our world as our world moves closer to the tribulation period. Okay, so we can expect that. But there's a passage of Scripture that we tend to forget, and I want you to see this, because this is going to play right into everything. In Acts chapter 20, 27 through 31, Paul gets a chance to meet with the elders that are at Ephesus. And in this conversation, he says something that we need to pay attention to. Watch, if you would, verse 27. He says, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Let me just stop for a moment and say this to you. That is my responsibility as a pastor. It is to declare unto you all the counsel of God, to teach you the Scriptures from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And that's why we study the way we do, so that you can get all of it, not just bring you in here and preach a salvation message every week. You're not going to grow from that. You will not grow. That's not what I am called to do. I am called to feed the sheep. And so we do that by preaching all the counsel of God. But let me go on here. He gives a warning. He said, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Okay, so did you catch that? Grievous wolves entering in. So they're coming in from the outside. But watch verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Did you see what he said? From right inside the body of Christ, false teaching that arises from those that profess and even may be believers. Did you catch that? We tend to look only on the outside. We tend to look to the outside, to those wolves that are going to enter in from the outside. That's what we tend to think about. We don't stop to think about this. And so what happens, so let me go on and read this. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now listen to me. So that means this, that just because somebody professes to be a believer, because somebody names the name of Christ, does not mean that you can believe everything that they teach. That's the point that I want to make. And so I'm convinced that as we progress in our world, or degress, however you want to put it, towards the tribulation period, that a lot of the problems that are going to arise in the church are going to come from people that profess to be believers. People that are very well known in their position, who name the name of Jesus Christ and are very convincing in what they say. And so therefore, they're going to proclaim this false teaching. And because of their position and the church that they attend, people are going to say, well, they must be right. So we got to believe them. That is not the case. You need to have your guard up all the time. So there are people proclaiming three proclamations today that in our society that I want to consider. Okay, so here's what they are. Number one is this. This is being loudly proclaimed. The people that occupy Israel today are not true Israel. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but that's going around. The people that are over in the Middle East that occupy that area of Israel are not Israel. That's not really Israel. That's what's being said. You hold on to that. I'll tell you where that's coming from in a moment. Number two, here's another one. We are not to support Israel because the government of those people is very corrupt. It's a corrupt government, and they're taking advantage of the United States of America. And so therefore, we don't have any right to support those people or care for those people because of that government that exists over there. And then here's number three that I hear too. There's nowhere in the Bible where we are told that we will be blessed if we bless Israel and we will be cursed if we curse Israel. Nowhere in the Bible, they say. Nowhere. Say, well, if you're like I am, my mind goes back to Genesis 12. And they say, no, no, no. That's not Israel Moses is writing about, that God is speaking about. That's Abraham. We'll get to that too. That's inaccurate, by the way. So I want to start with the statement, the Israel that is in the land of Israel is not the true Israel. And I'm going to name names, okay? So this might make you a little bit uncomfortable because I don't know who you listen to or anything, but there are people today that have platforms. One of them is Candace Owen. One of them is Tucker Carlson. These people came to be trusted during the whole COVID movement, okay? These people... Candace Owen, she got almost 4.5 million followers. That's going to play into this too. But they are getting on their podcasts and they are proclaiming that we should not be supporting Israel. And they are claiming that Israel is not the true Israel. That is not the true Israel that is over there in the Middle East. And Candace says it loudly and very convincingly. Also, so if you were to listen to her, you would come away from there saying, you know what, maybe she's right. Maybe she's right. Maybe this isn't Israel. Maybe we should not be supporting these people. Okay, so now, let me reel you in for a moment. Okay, so anytime you hear that, anything that you hear like that, you want to research out a background. So what it made me want to do is, let me look at the background of Candace Owen. Well, the background explains everything, because Candace Owen has come out of a background of Reformed theology, is where she has come from. She is now converted over to being a Roman Catholic, and their statement was this, I finally come home, because now she is a Catholic, okay? So those that are in the Reformed theology believe in what is known as replacement theology. That's where this whole teaching is coming from. So I want you to listen to me real carefully here. So Candace Owen believes in replacement theology along with many other people. And I'll get to more names as we go down through this today. Okay, so in replacement theology, just to help you with that statement, what they believe is this, that we as the church have replaced the nation of Israel. That's what is taught. That we are now the new Israel. That's what they say. God has finished with that nation. He has cast that nation off. We'll get to that too. He has cast that nation off. We are now the new Israel. I listened to a guy the other day, and that guy had a young lady that he was talking to, and she said, "That's Israel over there." He said, "No, it isn't. No, it isn't." And so what he did, he said, "I want you to open your Bible." And he said, "I want you to open to Galatians chapter 3. And he said, "I want you to turn in Galatians chapter 3, and you can look in your Bible, or you can look on the screen, or you can look on a paper. I didn't want anybody to miss this, because I want you to see this." Okay. Galatians chapter 3 is where he took her, to verses 28 and 29. And here's what it reads. He said, "There is neither Jew nor Greek," this is Paul writing, "there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." He said, look there. He said, "Who is the offspring of Abraham?" She said, "Well, according to that, it's me. It would be the church." He said, "That's exactly right." He said, "It is the church who is the new Israel." Okay, so what he's done is he's reached in there and he's jerked that verse right out of context. So you know from what I teach you that I'm all about the context of a passage. I want to know the context. I want to know what Paul's talking about. So I'm going to back you up a little bit in that same chapter to verses 6 and 7. But before we get there, let me give you the overall view of the book of Galatians. We just finished this not too long ago on Sunday nights. So what's the book of Galatians about? It is about sanctification. A lot of people think it's about justification because Paul talks about justification so much in this letter. But the book is about sanctification. And if you were to, if you go to verse 2 of chapter 3, I think you see that. He says, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith." He's talking to believers. They've already got the Spirit. They've already got the Spirit. He's not trying to win them to the Lord. That's not what he's trying to do. So you say, okay, then why does he talk about justification so much? Because the path of sanctification is the same path that we came in on with justification. In other words, when you are saved, when you were born again, then you trusted by faith, you believed that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. By faith, you entered this path, and now you are on this path. Sanctification, that is, living a holy life, comes the same way, staying on the same path. By faith, believing what the Bible says about me as a new creation in Christ. So when I trusted Christ as my Savior, by faith, God did a supernatural work, and he caused me to be born again. Now I continue in faith in what the Bible says about me, and God continues to do a supernatural work, and he gives me power over temptation, power over sin. So that's what Paul's saying. So anyhow, now let me go back a little bit to the background of the letter again before I get down to verses 6 and 7 here. So what happened at Galatia, in these churches of Galatia, you had these Judaizers that came in. They came in after Paul was there on his first missionary journey, and they started to teach the people, the believers that were there. They said, look, you got to come under the law. You have to be circumcised. And if you don't come under the law, if you're not circumcised, then here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to go out in the world and you're going to live a life that is given over completely to sin because if you are not under the law, there's nothing to restrain the sin in your life. That's what they were teaching. In this, Paul counters all of that and he says, no. You are saved by grace, and it is grace that keeps you from sin as you walk by faith. That's what he's saying in this book. Okay. But anyhow, when you come down to verse 6 now, he's going to reach back to get an Old Testament example, and the guy is Abraham. And watch what he says. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So you've got these Judaizers coming in, and they're saying, look, you got to be under the law. If you're not under the law, number one, you can't be saved. If you're not under the law, then sin is going to be rampant in your life, and you got to be circumcised. And Paul says, wait a minute. What about Abraham? What about Abraham? He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Oh, about 400 years before the law. And before he was ever circumcised. So what are you going to do with him? That's the question. What are you going to do with him? Because he was saved before the law. He's saved before circumcision. Then he goes on. Watch what he says. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Here's another verse that is used by replacement theologians. So what they'll say is, look there, because we are by faith, we are now the children of Abraham. Not that nation, not those people over there in the land of Israel. No, that's not the real Israel. We are. And so that is what they teach is completely incorrect, because he's not saying here that we are the physical descendants of Abraham, but we are the spiritual descendants. In other words, just like Abraham believed and it was counted to him for righteousness, so we believed and we were born again, we were saved. So we have come down the same path that Abraham has come down, and that's what he's saying in this. He's not saying that the church has become the new Israel. That is not what he's teaching. That is not the context of this at all. He's using this to say that we have followed the same path that Abraham did, and because of that reason, we're just like him. We are spiritual descendants of Abraham, because we have come to salvation. We have come to justification the very same way that he has. That's what he's saying. Then you've got Galatians chapter 6. If you want to turn over there, you can. 15 and 16. Okay. So here comes another one. Namely verse 16. But I'll read 15 and 16. Watch this one. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Okay, they're saying, look, you got to be circumcised. Paul said, look, that has nothing to do with sanctification. It has nothing to do with justification. In Christ, that carries no weight whatsoever. But a new creature, a new creation. Verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, watch this, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Okay, so now listen to me. So many replacement theologians want to remove the word and the word and right before the word upon. So they read it like this. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. And so what they're saying is this, that there's another verse that supports that the church is the new Israel. We are the Israel of God. That's what they want you to believe. But you cannot remove that word and. It's the word chi in the Greek. And so what it does here, it makes two separate groups within the same body is exactly what he's doing. So let me read the verse again, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. Okay, so as many as walk according to this rule, that would be the Gentile believers, that's the church, okay, and upon the Israel of God, Jewish believers. And he separates them here, just in this verse, he separates them to say they are also a part of the body of Christ. They are also, and that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about that remnant of Jews that have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And he refers to them as the Israel of God in the church. They are still the body of Christ. Okay? They're still the church. And it's interesting to me that he refers to them as the Israel of God, because he's saying this, even in them, circumcision and uncircumcision availeth nothing. It's all about a new creation. It's all about being born again. But anyhow, going back to the entire thought again, those are verses that are used by replacement theologians to say that we are the new church. The church is, or we are the new Israel. The church is the new Israel. And so they, along with that, they also say that God is finished with the nation of Israel, that he's cast them aside. Well, the Bible's very clear that that is not the case. God has not cast aside Israel. Let me show you some verses. Isaiah 49, 14 through 16. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. This is Israel. Israel has said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Then God says this, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God says, I will never forget you. I will never forget you. But let me go further with that. Jeremiah 31, 36 and 37. 35, 36 and 37. It says, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, what ordinances? The ordinances of the sun for a light by day and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night and the controlling of the waves of the sea. If those ordinances go away, he said, watch this. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all they have done, saith the Lord. So listen, if God is going to be finished with Israel, you know, these nations that want to attack Israel, and they point their missiles to Israel, they'd be better off pointing their missiles towards the sun and the moon and the stars. Because before Israel, God would ever be finished with Israel, those ordinances have to cease to exist. The sun and the moon and the stars would have to disappear. Somebody would have to be able to measure the heaven and the foundations of the earth. Can you imagine measuring the heavens, outer space? I mean, how many millions and billions of miles out into space can you go and you're still not to the end? And somebody be able to measure that? Nobody could do that. Neither can anybody destroy the nation of Israel. God is not finished with them. God has not cast them aside. The church is not the new Israel. Understand that. Don't buy into what Candace Owen and Tucker Carlson and all the Reformed theologians are saying, that we are now the new Israel. That's what they want to say. They want to make you and I the new Israel, and that is absolutely inaccurate. We are not the new Israel. God is not finished with the nation of Israel. Israel has been set aside for the time period in which we live in. Once the rapture happens and the church is gone, God will go back and he will work with the nation of Israel in the tribulation period. That's what the tribulation period is about. It is about putting the pressure upon the nation of Israel to get them where they need to be. And I'll get to that in a moment as we continue on. Okay. So, it's not only Candace Owen. It's not only Tucker Carlson. Let me give you some pastors. And I want you, if you have the paper, you remember these names. If you listen to somebody that is connected with these guys, here's my suggestion. Get away from it. Okay, so you got Doug Wilson. That's one of them. Doug Wilson is one of them. He's from Moscow, Idaho. Okay, he's a Reformed theologian. I'll get to some of his teaching here in a little bit. You got John Piper. That's another guy. You watch out for John Piper. You got Alistair Begg. He'll come right out of 90.5 out of State College on your radio in the evenings, too. You got Albert Moeller, Al Moeller, however you want to pronounce it. Mark Dever. Okay, so this is just a few of these guys. So if somebody you listen to is coming out of this group right here, then here's what you need to do. You need to get away from that. You need to get completely away from that. Okay, because this teaching breeds dangerous movements These are traps laid by Satan, is exactly what is going on. And I'm going to show you what it's doing. So they're out there and they're saying, look, that Israel is not the true Israel. That's not Israel over there. Yes, it is. But they've convinced a lot of people. Candace Owen, 4.5 million followers. You know the age group that they're focused on? Listen to this. From 20s to 40s. And I am convinced of this, that what they are doing is this. They are building the apostate church for the tribulation period. And I'll get to that in a moment. I'll get to that in a moment. So from this, first of all, what gets bred out of this is anti-Semitism. It's anti-Semitism, is exactly turning people against the nation of Israel. Okay, is exactly what they're doing. So what they are doing is this. So they want to. Those in replacement theology are trying their best to get the world Christianized. Okay, they're trying to Christianize the world. Is what they're trying to do. They're trying to change the world. That's their mission, to change the world. So just think about this for a moment. If they're trying to change the world and they're trying to make the world better, who is one nation that would stand in the way? Israel, because aren't there a lot of wars over there? Didn't it seem like there's always fighting over there? So now what you have is you have these people that are proclaiming this replacement theology that Israel is not the true Israel, but the church is the new Israel. Now what you have is you are starting to breed anti-Semitism, and you're starting to pit people against the nation of Israel, which is, listen to me, setting the stage for the tribulation period. Watch these verses. Watch Zechariah 12, 2 and 3. It says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people, round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Watch Zechariah 14, 1 through 3. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. See that? There's coming a time in the tribulation period when all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. So what I'm telling you is this replacement theology is just breeding anti-Semitism. For people to be against the nation of Israel. Now let me go further with that. All of that is satanic. All of that is satanic. Whose mission is it to destroy the nation of Israel? Whose mission was it from the time that he found out back in Genesis chapter 12 when God called Abram to be the start of a brand new nation, which we'll get into next week. Who'd Satan focus on then? He focused on that nation because he understood that from that nation was going to come the Messiah. The one that was in Genesis 3:15 that God said would come and would destroy Satan. Satan understood when he found out that that's where the Messiah was coming from. His focus was on that nation, to destroy that nation. And he did everything he could to possibly destroy the coming of Christ. Stop it. That's what he wanted to do. So you say, okay, well, today it's different. Jesus already came. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. But there were promises made to the nation of Israel. There were promises made to the nation of Israel. Many of them. And we'll get into the Abrahamic covenant next week, okay? But let me give you two major promises. One is the physical return of Christ to the earth. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the second coming at the end of the tribulation. That's not promised to you and I as the church. That's promised to Israel. Okay? That coming of Jesus Christ whenever his feet touch down on the Mount of Olives. That is promised to the nation of Israel. You know the other promise. It is the kingdom. It's the kingdom, the earthly kingdom. Okay, so now listen to me. So Satan, with his goal, is destroy Israel, then these two promises won't be fulfilled. And so what you're seeing that get ramped up today in the anti-Semitism, okay? And then I'll project you here. I know it's pretty small on the screen. Well, you can see it better than I can on my screen. But this is where it's going to reach the pinnacle. This is the midpoint of the tribulation period. Right here, watch what happens. And there was war in heaven. Michael is the archangel that is the angel over the nation of Israel. He's the one that fights for the nation of Israel. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was her place found any more in heaven. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is midpoint. Now listen, watch this. And I heard a loud voice in heaven. Now has come salvation and strength, watch this, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. See what said? See what the voice said? The kingdom's coming. The kingdom's coming. Jesus Christ is coming back in all of his power. Guess who that's going to infuriate? Satan. Watch it. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Who is that? That's Israel. That's Israel. He will do everything he can to destroy the nation of Israel. Because that way, if the nation was destroyed, then Jesus wouldn't come back. There wouldn't be a kingdom. And Satan could be the god of this world forever. What a tragedy that would be. What a tragedy that would be. So let me go back to this replacement theology. So you have these people that are very prominent now, and they are proclaiming this replacement theology. They are saying that the church is the new Israel. The Israel that's over there is not the true Israel. We are the true Israel. And so now you've got the anti-Semitism. Let me give you another statement. This is not on your paper. This is out to the side. Here's something else. If you're a note taker, write this term down. Final salvation. Final salvation. I'm going to explain to you what that is. That is proclaimed by many in the Reformed circle. Piper, John Piper is one of those guys that proclaims that. You say, what is final salvation? I kind of like that name. I do too in my understanding of it, but his understanding of it is this. I want you to listen. They're teaching that you can't really know if you're saved until you get to the end of your life. You can't know. And the only way that you can be saved is if you slay sin in your life. If you slay all the sin in your life. Now, did you catch that? That is works. That is work salvation. Along with that, here's another term, lordship salvation. That Christ has to be the Lord of every single area of your life. And if he's not, then you're not really saved. So what that is another gospel. That is another gospel. And that is what they are proclaiming. You can search that all out. That statement's there, that John Piper made that statement about the final salvation. And that sin must be slain in your life or you're not going to be saved. So the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not saved by what I do. I'm not saved because Christ is the Lord of every area of my life. Is he the Lord of every area of my life? Probably not. And neither is he in your life either. There's always something in your life where he can have more of that area of your life. But we hold it back, don't we? Were the disciples guys that he was the Lord of every area of their lives? Let me just raise one name. How about Peter? Was Christ the Lord of every area of his life? No. Did Peter fail? Yes. Did the other disciples fail? Sure, many of them failed. Let me go back. Let me say this. What about David? Was David a guy that God was the Lord in every area of his life? No. What about Solomon? The point is this, they're making a different gospel, okay? So now what you're doing, you're pulling in these age groups from 20s to 40s, in the early 20s, maybe late teens, to 40s, and you're bringing them in and you're proclaiming a different gospel to them. Okay, now listen, let me put that mix together, if I could. So now you've got all these people, you've got all these followers of these people, and there are many followers, millions and millions of them, that think that they are saved, but they're not because they have believed a false gospel. Do you understand that? They have believed in a false gospel is exactly what they've done. So here's my point, and this is just my thought, but I have the platform, so I can give you my thought, okay? So I say this, that is setting the stage for the apostate church. Because after we, as the true church, is raptured out of this world, there are going to be religious people that are going to still be here. Namely, this group. They're going to make up that apostate church. Not a real church. Not a real church. They are going to be used by the Antichrist to persecute true believers. Say, how do you know that? How about Revelation chapter 6? Whenever you see the souls of them at the altar that were beheaded for their stand for Christ. Has this not already happened in history? Has it not already happened? Sure it has. So, one thing that you need to understand is this. That as you and I stand for the truth of God's word, we stand in support of Israel. Don't be surprised if the persecution does not come upon us from those that profess to be believers. You find out, you see what I'm saying? See where it's coming from? You see where it's what's going to happen? Because I don't believe, and I'll get to this in a moment, I don't believe that my responsibility is to change the world. I'll get to that here in just a little bit. That's not my responsibility. Let me go to the next point because if not, I'm going to get way ahead here. So you have the one thing it breeds is anti-Semitism. Another thing it breeds is dominionism or reconstructionism. You say, now what in the world? So that is, dominionism is that we need to take back the world and we need to have dominion over everything and we need to reconstruct this world. And if we reconstruct this world, then what's going to happen is Jesus will come back and he will set up his kingdom. And they're saying that it rests on me and it rests on you. It rests on the church. We have control of that. That's what they say. That's what reconstructionism is. Let me give you another name. Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron is deep into this. Let me give you a group. Let me give you an organization right now, if I could. It's called Seven Mountains Mandate. You've probably heard of it. Maybe not. But Seven Mountains Mandate teaches this, that there are seven societal mountains that the church is responsible to clean up. Okay, I'll show you what they are. Here's what they are. Family, religion, education, media, arts and entertainment, business, and government. Let me shock you for a moment. Charlie Kirk was plugged into that deep. A lot of you didn't realize that. He was, if you go and look that up, you'll find out he's one of the prominent names in Seven Mountains Mandate. So, a little bit of research will tell you where this came from, which tells you it's inaccurate. Because where it came from was that there are two people that claimed that they had a divine revelation from God, and God told them, these are the areas you need to clean up. And when you get these areas cleaned up, then basically, then I will set up the kingdom on the earth. That's what's being taught. Dominionism. Reconstructionalism. That's being taught. Clean these areas up. And then Christ will come back, and he will set up his church or his kingdom on the earth. Let me give you three problems with that. Number one, God does not give divine revelation today. There's no new revelation. There is no new revelation. God does not do that. God does not do that by any means. There's nobody gets a divine revelation from God. God speaks to us today through his word. That's how he speaks to us, through his word. Number two, here's the second problem. The kingdom does not depend upon what the church does. The coming kingdom depends completely upon a nation of Israel. Israel has to come to two places before the kingdom will ever come to the earth. They have to come to the place where they repent and they accept Jesus Christ as their king. The two things that they didn't do when he came the first time, offering the kingdom. Remember what he said? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They would have nothing to do with him, and nor would they have anything to do with repentance, because they thought that they were self-righteous, and so therefore they wanted nothing to do with that. That's what the tribulation is about. It is about God bringing three sets of judgments, seals, trumpets, and bowls, upon the world to squeeze the nation of Israel, to get them to the place where they will be forced to turn to him. There won't be any other choice. They're going to have to. And that's what will bring the kingdom. That's what will bring the kingdom. And so the kingdom does not depend upon what you and I do. Number three, the third problem, you and I are not called to clean up the earth. We are not called to clean up the earth. We are to be fishers of men. You'll not find a verse that says, I have to clean the fishbowl. It's not our job. It's not our job to clean the fishbowl. It's not. So here's what that does. So when people get wrapped up in this, whether it be the Seven Mountains Mandate or even get away from that, dominionism, you get caught up, or Reconstructionism, get caught up in changing the world. Now what you've done is this. You've got away from the mission that God has given to us. You understand that? That's not my mission. That's not your mission. To go out, show me somewhere. Just, I would challenge you to do this. Take the early church and just show me someplace where that's what they tried to do in the Roman Empire. They never did it. They did not do it because they had no time to do it, because they were too busy proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this whole teaching now, do you see how Satan plays into this? You've got anti-Semitism that is now getting ramped up. You have this false gospel that is being proclaimed now. Now you have these people in that reform circle that are now leading people out into the world to change the world, is what they're trying to do. So Satan now, boy, you see what he's doing? You see the traps that he's laid? And so many people have got their feet stuck in those traps. They got caught. And they've been pulled into this, all of this. And it's completely contrary to what the Word of God tells us that we are to do. Listen to these words. I could not find out who wrote this. This came from Middletown Bible Church. Remember George Zeller that was here. But this article was on their website, and I want you to listen to what this man says. In the middle of it, he has a quote by Dave Hunt, and I'll give you that separately here. But he says this, and I quote, "God has never told us to change the world. The world system is incurably sick and headed for destruction. God has told us to preach the gospel to individuals, to every creature. And when a person responds in the right way to the gospel message, his life is truly transformed by the grace of God. It's better to think of the world as a sinking ship like the Titanic. It is hell-bent and hell-bound, doomed to destruction. Many, yea, most, will perish. It is our job to throw out the lifeline and seek to rescue the perishing as we herald the good news." Now, here's what Dave Hunt says, and I quote his statement here. "The Great Commission does not involve exerting a Christian influence over society. We're not to change society, but to convert individuals. There is much talk today about changing the world for Christ. There is no biblical teaching or example to support that popular slogan," unquote. And that's from Dave Hunt. Goes back to the article in Middletown again. It says, "The only one who can change the world is God himself. And this will be done only when Christ returns to this earth to establish his kingdom. The church will never bring in a new world. This work will be done by Christ and Christ alone." So what it's doing, what all this teaching is doing, is it's taking the church in a direction that it's not supposed to go. That's what we need to understand. So what I want you to see is all of this teaching, and I'm convinced of this. You know, one of the ways that Satan has used his tools to get all of this out is social media. And there are so many people that are listening to what is said on through these people on the Facebook platform or wherever it might be. And they're taking that as the truth. Listen, you're setting yourself up for deception. Get out of there. Get out of there and get in here. Because this is the truth. That isn't out there. And Satan has pulled you, if that's where you're at and that's where you get your theology from, he's pulled you into that polluted pit is where he's pulled you. Into that cesspool of where all of this false teaching is being proclaimed by people that you thought you could trust. It's like Candace Owen and Tucker Carlson. When it came through the COVID-19, you know, I would say this, in my mind, they were spot on a lot of things. This has destroyed all that. This has destroyed all of that. But isn't it just like Satan to give somebody a platform and something like that and make it look good and then turn around and now he's going to use them to do this? I'm going to use a story for a moment that was used at our men's Bible study the other week about a pastor who had two daughters. It's not me, by the way. So the two daughters were at school and they came home and they were excited because they got tickets to go to the movies. They said to their dad, "We want to go to the movies." "So what's the movie?" "Well, it's got some language in it and it's got a few scenes that are really not acceptable, but overall it's a good movie. Overall it's a good movie and we want to go see it." And said, "We'll talk about it in the morning." So they get up in the morning. He had baked a pan of brownies. And he set the brownies down in front of them. He said, "Wait, before you eat the brownies," he said, "I want you to know something." He said, when I baked those brownies," he said, "I went out in the yard. There was a fresh pile of dog poop." He said, "I got a little. I didn't get a lot. I just got a little bit of dog poop and I swirled it in there. So it's not through the whole pan of brownies. It's only in some of them. Help yourself." See what I'm saying? That's where we're at. We got a pan of brownies with dog poop in. Almost said the other word. Forgive me. It was right there. And that's not my normal language, but this upsets me. What's going on is upsetting me terribly. because it's people feeding on things from people that don't have a clue what the Bible teaches and really don't care what the Bible teaches. And so, and it's this infiltrating so many areas of life, so many areas, so many things. And you just don't know. You got to be so careful. You come back to this because you don't know what to believe. Now they can put a voice with a dead person. Last night, Penny, we were away to watch our grandkids play soccer yesterday. That's not here nor there. So we come home, and Saturday night's always one of them. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? You know, back and forth, back and forth. I said, look, how about I get you a steak sandwich from the OIP, and I'll do something else. Okay. So I call in the OIP, and I talk to this lady, I thought. And so she took my order, and I said, no, wait. She said, what name do you want on this? I said, well, my name's Keith Showalter, but it's for my wife, Penny. I want her name on it because she's going to pick it up. And so whenever we got to the end, the lady on the other end said, thank you, Penny. I was talking to a bot at the OIP at Everett. I called in there. It was not a real person. It was a bot, an AI bot, is exactly what it was. I didn't know the difference till I got to the end. I mean, that thing could carry a conversation very well. It could carry a conversation very well. It just messed up when it called me Penny. And I know my voice don't sound like a penny. So, anyhow, that's where we're at. Do you see that? Do you see where we're at? But the scary part, and I can't reverse back there, is the book of Acts, what I gave you in the beginning and what Paul said. And what he said was about the false teachers rising up of your own selves. People that are in churches that you would think are people that you could trust, when in reality, they're preaching a false gospel. So let me go back to what I was saying. So here's our mission. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we are to do. So this teaching, let me help you out with something else here. It has penetrated right into the MAGA movement, right in with Trump. Two people in there, Paula White, who is his spiritual advisor. She is a Reconstructionist. And Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth is plugged into a church that Doug Wilson is connected with. It puts him under dominionism. You say, is that a big deal? Well, you bet it is. Because if they think, if that organization, if the Reconstructionists and the Dominionists, if they say we got to clean up the world, now you've put that thought line inside of people that have power, and look out, because the Constitution gets casted aside, because now they're going to try to implement what that false teaching is to try to get the world cleaned up. Let me tell you what they're doing, okay? And then I'm going to let you go home, and then I'll bring you back. You come back next week. We're not done. We're not by any means done. So what they are doing, they think they are getting and building up the world for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. They are, everybody in that circle is building everything up for the kingdom of the Antichrist, is exactly what they're doing. You say, that's pretty bold to say that. Well, let me ask you this question. Whose kingdom comes next? Jesus' kingdom or Satan's kingdom? Which one's coming next? Satan's kingdom. We know that in the tribulation period. So everything they're doing to what they think they're doing to build up the kingdom of Jesus Christ, they're building up Satan's kingdom, is exactly what they're doing. And if you get pulled into that, and if you start thinking that we are the new Israel and that those people over there aren't really Israel, and you start to develop this mentality of anti-Semitism, and you start to think, well, you know what, maybe we do need to clean up the world and get everything back, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out and I'm going to march here and I'm going to march there and I'm going to make a difference. Well, okay, so here's what you've done. Number one, you've just contributed to building up Satan's kingdom. Number two, what you've done is you've just wasted your time, and everything you're doing is wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll burn up, and it won't count for anything. You understand that? It won't count for anything. We are in a dangerous time. I cannot emphasize that enough. I cannot emphasize that enough, that we are in such a dangerous time. I knew, as I studied the scriptures, I knew there was false teaching coming down the road. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, in the tribulation period, if it were possible, even the elect, the nation of Israel, would be deceived. But he won't let that happen. But I thought, how in the world could it get there? Well, here we are. Here we are. And that it's not even to the worst part yet. Here we are. And if you think you won't get pulled into that, listen, you are deceived. You're deceived. And you'll eat the whole pan of brownies. That's what you'll do. You eat the whole thing. Because you'll get in there and you'll think, boy, this sounds great. Yeah, you know, yeah, that look how corrupt the government is over in Israel. And so we shouldn't support them because they're far from what they ought to be. Well, let me tell you, Israel's never been perfect. They have never been perfect. And so therefore, that is the real Israel over there. Just so you know that. That is Israel. Okay? And so next week you come back. And what we're going to do next week, we're going to look at, and we got a lot to look at. This is probably going to run. I thought we'd do it in 2 weeks. We're looking at a month or better now, anyhow. So we're going to talk about the start of Israel and the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and what that means and how that plays into today. And so that's what we'll look at next week. So anyhow, you got the notes. You can go back over it. I probably dumped a truckload of info on you that sometimes it's hard to digest, but there's a lot there, and I hope it helps you. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we want to know the truth. That's my desire. We want to know the truth. And Lord, we have no problem naming names if it is to help somebody to keep from being pulled into a false teaching to where they get in and they are used by the enemy instead of being used by you. So, Lord, we thank you for what we've discussed today. Might it get embedded in our minds? Might we understand how cautious we need to be in our world? How cautious. And just because somebody gets up and proclaims the name of Christ doesn't mean that there are people that are to be trusted. Father, we have to do our research. Ultimately, we need to come back to the Bible. We need to be like the Bereans is what we need to be. We have to see how everything aligns with the scriptures. Father, keep us all protected in our minds. Keep us away from getting theology off of social media. Keep us away from that. Help us to get our theology right here as we study your word. And Lord, we learn the truth of your word. Father, continue to give me the wisdom and the insight that I need to be able to teach the truth to the people that are here, so that we, our church, the Claysburg Bible Church, your church, might be a lighthouse in the community. So, Lord, take what's spoken today, use it for your honor and for your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.